Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to Comic Conversations, the podcast that reviews more comics than anybody else. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a five-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. On today's show, we are joined by friend of the show and friend of mine, one Mr. Mike Rowe. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Now, we've talked to you before in the past. We talk all things DC comic books. I think before we've had you on talking, I think, Forever Evil and then before in the past. So you've always been sort of our go-to person, or my go-to person anyway, when we're talking DC comic books. And I know as far as all the big events, we've always talked to you. For whatever reason why, I never touched bases with you on Convergence. But now with DC Rebirth front and center, I feel like let's have you on again. Let's talk all things DC.
Yeah, I mean, Rebirth's a real event. I mean, Convergence was fine, but nobody cared. So let's talk about the thing that actually got people talking about it. So.
Yeah, DCU, YOU, was kind of a bit of a failure. And I get the feeling that this was kind of them, I guess, in a way, sort of throwing the towel on New 52. Obviously, they're going to do some things that's still keeping up with that continuity. But they're going to do things here and there to sort of tweak it going forward. Let's start with this week's Justice League as far as catching us up. I'm sure a lot of people that listen to the show that we predominantly talk Marvel comic books. So when you read Justice League this week, there was a lot of questions I had going forward. Now, I'd read the DC run with Johns almost from the beginning.
Shoot, well, I could be your human FAQ. So,
and then if there's anything else you feel like discussing, as long as we're here, you can. Now, I think I started reading the current Darkseid Wars. And I kept up with it until they started doing all the tie-ins, and then I think at that point I kind of fell off. So when we opened with this week's book, we saw a lot of the Justice League members as they were called, the gods. Like, we saw Flash as the God of Death. Now specific in obviously Batman, the God of Wisdom. So what's that up?
Well, the whole thing with them being the various gods, it was had to do with them being on Apocalypse and fighting Darkseid and, through various things. It wasn't all one thing, but they all got powers in various ways. Like, Superman got supercharged in the, fire pits of Apocalypse, and Batman managed to get hold of Metron's chair of knowledge, and that gave him powers. So, it was a little bit of everything gave them these powers. And then, in the end of this Darkseid War, which lasted forever, they are finally going back to being themselves.
Okay, so all things that happened in this run is sort of, you know, it's not that they're hitting the reset button, but that was part of what they were doing in the Johns run. Mm-hmm. And now going forward with, I believe, Hitch writing the book, they're going to sort of, I guess you would say, reset the table.
I mean, it's been interesting. Brian Hitch has been writing the other Justice League book, which isn't as closely tied in with continuity, but they're sort of giving him the main Justice League book. Geoff Johns is going away for a while since he's a very busy man these days, working on the movies and TV shows and who knows what else. But yeah, I mean, I like the end of the Darkseid War. I thought that it went on too long. It was 10 parts long plus these tie-in issues. I felt like there wasn't a lot of passion for it, like to the point where my main comic shop did not carry the tie-ins for this book, which like I went to my shop to get them. They did not have them. It was kind of a bummer.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one then.
Justice League 50, they had a few big revelations at the end that set things up that they followed through with on Rebirth. The main thing that happened earlier in the Justice League, the never-ending Darkseid War, was that Batman had asked the Metron's chair, who the Joker really is, and we didn't hear what the chair said until finally at the end he reveals that the chair told him there are three Jokers, and it seems like that probably has to do with the, various timelines and what's going on with Rebirth and all of that. I've seen some fan theories online about who the various Jokers could be, so it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. Plus, also, they revealed that Darkseid has been reincarnated, and there's a new Darkseid baby. So watch out for babies, guys. One of them could be Darkseid. Also, they revealed that Wonder Woman has a long-lost twin brother that she never knew about. So I'm sure that'll be explored in the Wonder Woman book. They brought Greg Rucka back, who's a fantastic writer. I'm so excited to see him working on that book, so it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. Oh, also, the very end of Justice League, Batman gets out of the chair because it's sort of overwhelming his human system because humans aren't meant to be in the chair of all knowledge. Mm-hmm. So the crime syndicate bad guys manage to take the chair, including their version of Batman, they're from I think Earth 3. I keep forgetting because they keep changing whether it's Earth 2 or Earth 3 that is that Earth. But I think they're from Earth 3 now. So they take the chair. They end up on the moon. It's Metron and Owlman, I think is what he's called.
Yes, Crime Syndicate's Batman is Owlman.
Yeah, exactly. So they end up talking there, but then someone appears and eviscerates them, and they dissolve in the dust on the moon. And that's your big setup leading to Rebirth.
Yeah, we read it on our show that's going to be coming out tomorrow, and I read that as just it was too much knowledge for Owlman. But it was my buddy Alex who came up with the conclusion.
Yeah.
He disappeared, but it was like this blue mist or smoke. And he came to the conclusion that it was Dr. Manhattan who had vaporized him.
I'm pretty positive it's Dr. Manhattan doing that. And, you know, what does it mean if Dr. Manhattan has Metron's chair? If Dr. Manhattan already sort of an omnipotent character, what does he need with a chair of all knowledge? I think that'll be interesting to see where they go with that. Also, there have been various fan theories online based on, you know, Dr. Manhattan showing up in Rebirth from Watchmen and what that means. You know, will we see other members of the Watchmen getting integrated into the mainstream DC continuity? The other theories I've seen include that one of those three Jokers possibly being the comedian.
Ooh, nice.
And so that could be interesting. Also, that Silk Spectre and Night Owl, is that the Batman guy from Watchmen, right?
Yes.
And there's speculation that they might be the new superheroes who are in the new Batman book. There's like on the cover of the new Batman book, you see these two heroes in new costumes. There's speculation that maybe because like they ended up sort of going to anonymous retirement, but maybe they're actually going to turn out to be Night Owl and Silk Spectre. But we all have to wait and see.
Yeah, I believe they were given the name the Gotham Kids.
Yeah, exactly. So it's sort of like, why are they featuring these characters so prominently if there's, you know, and in one of the main new books to come out of the Rebirth? So it'll be interesting to see if that speculation comes true. Plus, also, there's one other character, Mr. Oz, who shows up in Rebirth and has been in the Superman books lately. And a lot of speculation going around that is Ozymandias from Watchmen.
Okay. Where do you weigh in? I've seen, obviously, this is the internet. You're going to see everything across the spectrum from people you know, damning it to say how dare they go to this, you know, this thing that's thought so well of, the Alan Moore run of Watchmen, and it's like, how dare they, especially when we saw that they did before Watchmen, people were up in arms saying they're ruining it for them. Are you someone that, where do you fall on the spectrum? Do you think this is a great idea, or do you think this is a bad idea and it kind of ruins that legendary Alan Moore run?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, I think the work is still the work. And, you know, if you loved Watchmen, Watchmen's still there. That's still a great story. You can make your own continuity. If you don't like these new stories, don't listen to it. It's not going to ruin your life.
That's what I kept thinking. I'm like, you could just pretend that continuity that happened on Moore's run, that was in and unto itself. And these are Watchmen from a completely different universe. And that's your way of justifying it so you can still read it and it doesn't ruin.
I mean, the original Watchmen, like, they were created because they were based on the characters from Charlton Comics. They were all sort of they're ripoffs to begin with. So
I remember we had this discussion online where I said, you know, these characters have been DC forever. And you're like, I've been reading DC for a while now, and I've never seen these characters. I'm like, oh, you've never read stories with Captain Atom and The Question and Blue Beetle? And you sort of scoffed at it. And it was, you know, just obviously we're going back and forth, but it was a funny little moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're different. I mean, these are obviously amped up versions of those characters. But you know, they've done things also, like with the New 52, actually, they did the Captain Atom book where they made Captain Atom a lot more Dr. Manhattan-y. I'm curious if they will more explicitly say, like, hey, the Watchmen characters are these characters from our universe, from another universe, or from somewhere else. And you know, you can have that conflict between, like, Dr. Manhattan and Captain Atom, and it could be really fun. I think that's a fun idea. I think it opens up lots of story possibilities. It gets people talking, and, you know, it's like Alan Moore hates DC. He was never going to come back and write for them anyway. So why not have some fun with these great, great characters and the great work that he laid the groundwork for?
I'm honestly shocked it took this long. These are great characters that people have great memories of, and DC's always one to, whenever they acquire rights to certain characters, they're always quick to bring them in their main continuity. And it's, you know, they're pretty famous characters, especially following the movie a couple years back. It's like, why it took them this long to put them in the main DC continuity is beyond me. I'm glad.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an amazing amount of restraint that they didn't do it before now. I mean, they did do before Watchmen, which was sort of like prologue tales, and people were up in arms about that. But some of them are actually really good. Speaking of those, Darwin Cook wrote and drew a a couple of those, you know, the late great Darwin Cook. Mm-hmm. And it was there, and you know, obviously some of the stuff here appears to be based off of the Dr. Manhattan issue of Before Watchmen.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, obviously people, like, they're sort of going back to the outrage, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, this is the company, and I'm sure that it's the title is, you know, they think highly of it as well, but at the end of the day, this is a company that we're talking about. They're here to make money. These are highly marketable characters that if you put them in the DC continuity, you're going to get fans interested. That's going to sell a lot of books. And really, at the end of the day, you know, that's what business they're in. They're in the business of moving books. And if this mm-hmm. is an opportunity they can to sell more books, they're going to take it.
Now, yeah, and if they can do it with a good story while they're doing it, great. And I think that they are doing that because I think Geoff Johns is an amazing writer, and I think he hit a home run with the writing on this. You know, it's not for everybody; it's a little dense. But I thought there was still like a simple enough story. If you don't get too hung up on knowing every single detail in Rebirth, it's still a fun story, even if you aren't a big DC fan. I think just, you know, simple story of the Flash and Kid Flash throughout.
Okay, and from there, let's talk. The latest issue of Superman that dealt with the New 52 Superman's mm-hmm. death.
Yeah, they've had the storyline. Actually, I thought it started off really well. Peter J. Tomasi writing it. And basically, they had like all these different adventures that Superman's been in lately have made him sick and made his body start deteriorating, including the stuff from the Dark Side War, including stuff from Brian Hitch's Justice League book where he's been fighting the Kryptonian god Rao. And, you know, other various adventures he's been in have led to him getting sick. And they did the first couple issues of that storyline, I would say, were amazing, and I highly recommend getting it. It got a little muddled in the middle, but it closed strong too. They had even a nod in the last issue to the old 1979 Superman movie where they had they've had this whole thing in DC where we've had the pre-New 52 Superman secretly living in the background on the same Earth as the new Superman, and they finally meet, and the pre-New 52 Superman ends up saving the day, and when they ask, who the hell are you, he says, a friend, which is a classic Superman line, which he says to Lois in the original film, which I thought was a very nice little nod. But, you know, at the very end of the story, New 52 Superman does die, although the way he dies is very odd because he ends up like his body sort of evaporates or something. It like turns into like sort of a big ash hunk at the end. So it, you know, who knows what that actually means? Is he actually dead? What happened? They sort of tease that idea in Rebirth where they have Mr. Oz, who we mentioned, come to the New 52 or the pre-New 52 Superman and tell him that the other Superman wasn't what he seemed. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with this.
Yeah, like you said before, if you were thinking of a better term for people who haven't read it, he kind of turns into a pillar of salt. Like he's still formed like a human being, but he's mm-hmm. he's that solid color of like white, and he's just on his back, and it's you wonder where they're gonna go with that, if that's something they're gonna put a pin in and maybe come back to it later, or with this idea of Rebirth being they're gonna start mining a lot of their old ideas and a lot of their own continuity, they're just gonna let that go by the wayside. I like this, and I because I'll see this often from Marvel. They'll write themselves into a corner, and when they obviously bring said character back, it's always kind of weird and janky. Whereas this, they're openly leaving the door open for them if they ever want to bring back this Superman, and it won't be as awkward if they decide to do it. And you sort of have the explanation of, you know, this has happened before in the past, and we don't know what we're doing, you know, long term, but really we left that door open. So if we ever want to undo the death of the New 52 Superman, we could do that, and just going forward.
Yeah, I think DC's good about that, and they always want to have logical consistency. I think that Geoff Johns that's one of his cornerstones, is making super logical, tight stories that play on the history and show like a super deep understanding of what's come before. So you know, he knows what's that things change, and so he gives himself little outs, but does so in a clever way.
Okay, and from there we're going to talk DC Rebirth. We talked about the death of Superman. We also talked about the three Jokers, but there was a ton of stuff that happened in DC Rebirth. So even though we've only scratched the surface so far, there's tons of other things that we can mine. Let's go with obviously the big one that everyone's been talking about, the return of Wally West.
Yeah. You know, I think it's been problematic for some folks because you have the pre-New 52's Wally West coming back, although he's much younger now. He's the Kid Flash version of himself instead of the adult Wally West. But he's sort of coming through the time stream. It's sort of a nod to Crisis on Infinite Earths. There's some allusions to Watchmen. Even from the very beginning of this issue, if you know Watchmen really well, the opening of it is another nod to Watchmen. So they sort of seeded that throughout the issue. And but you have Kid Flash coming through the time stream, and he's stuck there. You know, it's a thing they've done in Flash a lot, where Flash gets stuck in the Speed Force. It's sort of a classic story. The thing Wally West used to always do to get out of the Speed Force is he'd find his anchor, which was the love of his life, Linda Park. Mm-hmm. So he finds the Linda Park of the New 52 Superman New 52 universe in this issue, and when he finds her, she doesn't know who he is. I got genuinely choked up with that as a longtime Flash fan, and he tries seeing Batman too, who there's some interaction with because he had to do with New 52 Origins, with Flashpoints and all of that, and he doesn't know who he is, and he eventually comes down to Barry Allen, and even though he doesn't recognize him at first, he finally breaks through, and Barry Allen pulls Wally West out of the Speed Force and brings him into the new universe, which I thought was a very touching moment, and especially like they hug, and Barry's all, "How could I ever forget you?" And I thought that was just a really wonderful moment. Also, one thing that I know some people have found problematic is that, you know, they are bringing back the white Wally West when there's a new black Wally West. And it's like, does every character have to be white? But the way they did that, I thought was pretty elegant. They had the old Wally West, and they say that, you know, there's two Wally Wests because they are both named after the same great grandfather. And I'm like, fine, it's comics, that's okay. And I was like, sure, let there be two Wally Wests. That's great. You know, I mean, I think the biggest problem with the new Wally West is that it doesn't matter what skin color is. The problem is that when they made him, his personality and who the character was just didn't feel like the old Wally West in any other sense. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been totally fine to change the race of a character. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's, you need to keep it true to who that character is, though.
Yeah, and if anything, with DC Rebirth, you could have brought back Wally West, and just because of all things multiverse, you could have just had him be African American, and no one had ever thought anything of it. But they obviously with Rebirth, they want to mine that their back catalog of great stories.
Well, it was interesting the way they did Rebirth too, in that, you know, like they've said in the press, it's not a reboot, in that it's still keeping the New 52 universe going. It's just giving you a little more detail. It's bringing back characters that you used to love. It's sort of bringing back the relationships you used to love. And for a long time DC fan, it's very emotional, but I think that it's, like I said, I think there's still a great story there even without that. You know, you have brought back the relationship between Green Arrow and Black Canary, which they got rid of in the New 52. They brought back the relationship between Aquaman and Mira. It was very pointed, too, the way Jeff Johns wrote this. Like, he was very much sort of a meta commentary. Like, the whole thing's about the darkness in the DC universe. And it's basically saying, like, yeah, it's comics have been really dark for a long time, so let's do something a little different, which I think is very cool. There's also meta commentary in, like, Pandora, who's a big part of what created the New 52, that Dr. Manhattan kills her too, and the scene where they evaporate, it's like panel by panel, it's taken from a page from Watchmen where Dr. Manhattan kills Rorschach. So, you know, more nods to the source material. You know, very sort of meta commentary is being like, yeah, New 52 was a bad idea. Look, we just killed the girl who made New 52 happened in the comics.
I was wondering, because, you know, obviously they're doing this to sort of respond to people. I guess it's not a complete backlash. There was obviously people that still like the New 52, mm-hmm. obviously readers like you. But, there were those readers that were really turned off by the New 52. And, you know, they're sort of having to admit that there were things that even they admit there were bad ideas. But I wonder.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that my feelings about New 52 were that it there were a lot of good ideas in it, but I feel like they either went too far or not far enough. They ended up with sort of this, like, muddy middle ground of, like, getting rid of the things you liked without really reintroducing things in a new, interesting way. Also, you know, they never really gave you a firm ground to stand on, because they never did anything explaining this new timeline. Like, they introduced a new world. While, like, whenever DC's done this before, there's always been like charts and timelines and you're like, what happened? What didn't happen? And this time it's just, they just told you when they felt like it and things weren't consistent. And, it sort of just left the comics very confusing. It was like, what is the New 52? You know, we knew a few things were different, but couldn't really tell everything that happened that was, you know, in the New 52, they said Crisis on Infinite Earths never happened. And it's like, well, if that never happened, then did Barry never die in the crisis or, you know, what does that mean? And they never really bothered explaining it. So I think it's finally giving readers an explanation. Like, if this is almost just another extension of the New 52, because they don't reboot things, the characters are still where the characters were before this started in a lot of ways, because they are, it's not like they changed the timeline again. It's more that they are, bringing back things that seemed to not be in the comics, but maybe secretly were, is the revelation.
Yeah, it's not really a reboot. It's a relaunch, and we're openly bringing stuff from our back catalog. But other than that, going forward, it's primarily just a relaunch. It is not a reboot.
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, they're bringing back old characters. Like, they just had Ted Kord show up again, the Blue Beetle, who last we saw him, he had been killed in the before the New 52 even ever happened. He got shot in the head by Max Lord. And, you know, we saw him back. We saw a lot of fan favorites just back, and they don't really, without even really explaining, like, why they're back. So it'll be interesting to see how they sort of slowly reveal things over time. The big thing also is that Wally says that time has been stolen from all of them. There's like 10 years of their lives that just disappeared. And, you know, apparently it probably is Dr. Manhattan took that time and used it for something. But we're going to have to wait and see in that storyline. But yeah, I'm really excited for Rebirth. I think that it's one thing that Geoff Johns said when they announced it is that he sat down with all of the different editors. They planned out storylines for like the next couple of years so that they have sort of an idea where they're going. Like, they basically admitted that they didn't have plans for the New 52. They sort of had the initial launches and all the sort of new directions, but then they didn't know what happens next. And this time around, there's actually a what happens next for the whole line. And even though he's not writing the comics, Geoff Johns is masterminding that.
Yeah, that was my problem. We've talked about this back and forth on Facebook and whatnot. And like, my problem, obviously, one of the things I liked with Convergence, post-Convergence, was there was sort of a hands-off approach to the DC continuity. And I thought of all the things that they did post-Convergence, I think that was the best thing they did, because you had stories like they did in Justice League in America where you try to compare it to what they're doing in Justice League, their regular title, and it didn't quite sync up. But you know what? It was post-Convergence. It didn't matter. If it may be just my personal taste, I'm more so I want good stories. If it doesn't fall place within the continuity, I'm not too picky on that. For me, and especially I think things like that we've seen before in the past from DC, I always thought the problem with them was always the editorial was just so heavy-handed. Like, we've seen a couple instances, and I'm sure most of the writers there are pretty happy, but we've seen a couple instances where writers are really frustrated. They don't like the heavy-handed approach to it. And
I mean, I think it's pretty common. You know, there was a article I just read this week. You guys can probably find it online. Someone just made a very long article arguing against Dan DiDio, the editor-in-chief of DC Comics, and sort of went point by point through a lot of the problems the writers have had under him as editor-in-chief. There's also been reports out that Geoff Johns specifically was overruling Dan DiDio on certain things when it came to Rebirth. They empowered Geoff Johns to do that, so that he could be like, no, we're going to do it my way. And it's a really interesting look into the you know, editorial problems behind the scenes. You know, I like Dan DiDio. He seems like a good guy every time I hear of him. I like his writing when I've read some of the comics he's written. And but, you know, it seems like, you know, there's been some personnel problems. And I'm interested to see where things go for him going forward. And you know, is this a new era? You know, are they able to get some of these writers who have been mad at DC in the past back? You know, is there a chance that Mark Waid will ever come back, who's like the world's biggest DC fanboy, but just had such a problem with editorial that he left? There's also rumors going around that Jonathan Hickman might write a DC comic down the road. So we'll see if that comes to fruition or not. He left Marvel, so he's sort of a free agent right now. He's sort of been – he teased it on Twitter, but it's not actually announced yet. But the rumor that's going around is that in Rebirth, they tease bringing back the Justice Society of America, which is a longtime favorite for a lot of folks, and bringing back the Legion of Superheroes, which also has gone away for a while and is a fan favorite. And word is that Jonathan Hickman is a huge fan of Legion of Superheroes, so if they bring a book for them, he might be the one behind it.
I thought they announced a book for that already and with somebody else on
No, Twitter? Not yet.
Okay.
There's been a lot of rumors around. Like, everyone was like, oh, Legion's coming back. And that was never actually officially announced. So it's been a thing that everyone sort of speculated about and thought was happening. But it's not official yet.
Okay. And like I said, I'm really excited for all things DC Rebirth going forward. I know on my regular show, Comic Conversations, we're going to be reading a lot more books. Even next week, we're going to be reading Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I'm in for all the new Rebirth books. I'm checking them all out.
Yeah, but like I said earlier before, when I hear about how they're going to have this 2-year continuity and they're going to try to make everything sync up, that's when I get kind of worried that you're going to have these great writers being told that they need to do stuff so it can fit into the continuity. And at the end of the day, I just want great stories. And
yeah, I mean, I feel there's room for both of that. I think that I don't like when everything becomes a crossover and a tie-in. That's always annoying. I feel like Marvel's done a lot of that lately. It's sort of – I got annoyed that they were doing some crossovers in Spider-Women because I'm a big fan of the Spider-Woman book and nice. She got tied in with a crossover thing. But I feel like that the ideal is that you have sort of some big story points you hit here and there, but you also have great creators and you let them mostly tell their story. The one thing I like about this is that there's no other like specific crossover announced. They haven't announced like the next event. It's sort of like a long-term, like slowly unfolding event in a few books here and there. So you aren't going to have all these books getting taken over at the same time by one big editorial thing, which I think is encouraging. Also, one of my favorite things out of continuity recently was the Superman American Alien book. Have you read this?
Yes, Now explain to me how that book is set up, because I've bought a couple issues. I think I even read a couple of them that I bought. Are these one-off stories, or are we dealing with a constant story?
It was a 7-issue miniseries. The 7-issue just came out recently. It's come to an end, but it was its own continuity. It's not it was written by Max Landis, who he did the movie Chronicle. He did that sort of viral Death and Return of Superman video that was pretty great. But he just got to do his own thing, and they just did it. It's not part of continuity. It's just its own story. Each issue was sort of like a one-shot tale from different parts of Superman's life. But there's sort of like a very loose thread that ties them all together.
Yeah, because I had that book recommended to me, and I bought it was issue 5, and it had the fantastic Jay Lee art.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, I like this. And then the very next issue, it was fine, but it wasn't as good as the one that followed it. And I'm like,
each issue was a different artist, so it was sort of like a showcase book. The last book had art by Jock, who I like a lot, so I'd recommend issue 7. But it was a little bit all over because, different artists. I think that, when you have different artists, and also part of what Max Landis tried to do is he said he wanted each issue to be a different tone. So, if one issue's for you, not for you, it's probably another one will be.
Okay, and like I said, the couple things I had my reservations with it, but with that said, I would say I'm cautiously optimistic as far as all things DC are concerned going forward.
Yeah, I feel like they've given a real feeling of optimism. I mean, that's like both the real world feeling and like the in story feeling they talk about in Rebirth, as they are talking about like hope and optimism and bringing back. They talk about how because of the New 52, you lost love, and they bring back love in this comic. And I like that they're doing this meta thing and trying to get some attention. It's sadly for them, they did get overshadowed by Captain America making news.
Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, really, but the thing with DC Rebirth is they had all the days following Wednesday. So I feel I think
Rebirth also is going to have a lot long-term implications. While, this Captain America story, there's a lot of reasons why we can guess why he's acting like a Hydra agent. And it's not that he's always going to be a Hydra agent. While Rebirth feels more like it's a status quo.
Okay, since you brought up Captain America, what have you been reading? I know in the past we brought you on to talk all things DC, but I'm curious, what have you been reading on the Marvel side that you're really liking these days?
Honestly, because of the New 52, like I said, I felt sort of detached. I'm actually reading a lot more Marvel than I am DC lately. I feel like Marvel's had a lot of really great books. I feel like I thought they lost some steam after Secret Wars. I haven't loved some of the new stuff they've done since then, but I think there's a lot of great books. Like I mentioned, Spider-Woman I love, Ms. Marvel I like a lot. I'm trying to get into all different Avengers that Mark Waid's doing because I love Mark Waid, but hasn't totally grabbed me yet. You know, I think there's a lot of great stuff that's happening on Marvel's side. And, you know, I feel like Secret Wars was kind of like New 52 in that I don't totally know, like what, where everything stands following that storyline in Marvel. But, you know, still lots of great stories.
It's like DC Rebirth. For the most part, the continuity is remaining the same. There's a couple of things that they've tweaked here and there. But for
officially, they destroyed the whole universe and remade it. Like, you know, it's in the Secret Wars, the whole Marvel universe is gone and it just gets recreated basically the same. It sort of felt like, well, why are things mostly the same? You know, I don't know. I feel like I don't love what they're doing with Miles Morales in the new universe. Mm-hmm. I like the Ultimate version of him a lot better. It's sort of I feel like it's been sort of a putting a square peg in a round hole type thing, fitting him into the Marvel universe since then. But he's a great character. But I know they'll get to it. Eventually, it'll sort of click. But it's not quite there yet. But yeah, I think I like the Iron Man books though right now that Bendis is doing too. Yeah, I'm very curious to see what Marvel's next big thing is. It's Civil War II doesn't have me that hyped.
No, in fact, when they announced DC Rebirth, I felt like it was the perfect time for them to roll this out because everything post Secret Wars had not been setting my world on fire. I really wanted some kind of alternative, and DC came out all guns a blazing, especially when they announced that Batman would be written by Tom King, who's currently writing Vision, which is bar none, in my opinion, the best comic book right now, and I'm eagerly anticipating reading Batman this week.
Tom King's fantastic. I'm real hyped for Batman. I mean, that Vision book is messed up. I'm a little behind on it, but I like what I've seen from it. And I think that Tom King's like he's like the hot up and coming writer. It's been interesting. I feel like you know the my favorite comic book writers at DC and Marvel, like a lot of them have left for other projects, and the bench isn't as deep as it used to be with some of these guys. You know, Geoff Johns is moving on and not doing a regular book at the moment because he just got promoted at DC Films and has to worry about that whole mess. You know, I think that there's still lots of great stuff coming on. I think it's giving new writers an opportunity too. You know, you're getting a chance to elevate some guys. Like, I'm excited to check out Joshua Williamson on Flash. I mean, Flash is going to be a big book. I'm excited to see more from Dan Abnett. You know, he was great in Guardians of the Galaxy with Abnett Landing, but he's sort of been more on his own now, and they're giving him a few big books with Aquaman and Titans. I mean, Wally West, if you want to see the next part of Wally West's story, that's going to be in the Titans book. Which is, you know, not always been an A-list book. So I think that it's cool that they're using it to elevate characters, using it to elevate writers. And, you know, it feels like a very fresh time right now.
Okay. Sort of moving on. We've had you on as our DC expert, our DC go-to guy, because we're not really too big on it. And honestly, when I decided to book this interview with you, I was like, okay, I'll play devil's advocate and I'll talk DC with Mike, and I'll be like, I'll feign some interest. But going forward, you know, really, after reading DC Rebirth, it's genuine. I'm really looking forward to it.
Great.
I'm not just using you as an FAQ. I'm just like, let's talk DC, and we're excited now going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be some really exciting things coming out of it. You know, you sort of saw some quick previews at the end of the Rebirth issue. They had the ads for what's coming next. I think one of the really intriguing things is I feel like they didn't totally tip their hand on, you know, where do you go next to get the next part of this story? It sort of ends and you're like, that's it? What happens? And they tell you all these different books, but each one sort of, they're like little ties to each book. And I think that's kind of a cool approach. I think it is sort of more editorial freedom like you talked about. You know, I can guess where they're probably going to have the big follow-ups. But, you know, like I said, I think Titans is going to be big. I think Batman's going to be a real big place for that. I think new Superman book's going to be real big. I'm really excited. You know, you got Peter J. Tomasi writing one of the books. You have the great Dan Jurgens, who, you know, legendary Dan Jurgens, wrote The Death and Return of Superman back in the day. You know, he's a guy who he knows these characters so well. And sometimes his writing can come off a little old-fashioned. He, you know, he doesn't do, like, write things for groundbreaking page layouts or things like that, but he just gives you good classic superhero storytelling. And I really love Superman Lois and Clark that he was writing, and now he's getting to expand on that and have that Superman be the Superman, and it's pretty exciting.
Okay, a quick question before we move on to our next portion of this interview. Is there a reason why the Wildstorm characters haven't been featured in DC?
I was very much wondering about that. One thing that I was, you know, I follow some very passionately political folks on Twitter who are also big comic book fans. And one of the big controversies was over the character of Midnighter disappearing, who was like the one gay character to lead a comic book, really, in especially at, you know, and at that level. And that Midnighter's not in the New 52. So, you know, they have the big poster at the end of the issue where it shows all the characters, and he's not there. So, you know, but at the same time, you know, Jim Lee's the co-publisher of DC, so it seems like he's the guy who created Wildstorm. Why aren't the Wildstorm characters there? I think that I'm guessing it's going to be a story point. Like, I think there's a reason we haven't seen Justice Society yet, why we haven't seen Legion of Superheroes yet at any real level, and why we haven't seen Wildstorm. And I think they're going to let that develop. Although at the same time, one of the things with New 52 was New 52 was introducing Wildstorm into DC. So maybe it's part of them saying, like, yeah, New 52 is bad, so we're not going to try with Wildstorm anymore. Like, they tried to combine Gen 13 with Superboy was one of the things they did in New 52, mm-hmm. and they basically ruined the character of Superboy. They're making a new Superboy now in the new Rebirth universe. And so it's, you know, maybe that's what Wildstorm's – what's going on with Wildstorm. But if so, it's kind of a bummer. I do hope that they get back to them.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that Midnighter book that they had recently was actually really good. It was getting rave reviews, and I read a couple of issues. It was really good. It's kind of sad to see it go away, but I'm curious to see what, like you, what they're going to do with those characters going forward. Sort of to piggyback off what we were talking about earlier, you know, when I was going to have you on, you're often our DC FAQ person, and I thought we were going to have, you know, kind of a bit of a heated debate whether with Jeff Johns. Also, you brought it up earlier with him being in charge of the DC films, and I'm like, Johns, the reason why I wasn't too keen on all things DC, but now with Rebirth, it's like, well, this is a complete different guy. And
well,
if he's at the helm,
I mean, that's
DC
the thing.
Films,
he wasn't the guy in charge of the DC films before. I mean, he's been in charge more of the DC TV shows. He's been sort of very much the liaison, and like, you can give him credit for, I think, the feeling you get from the Flash TV show, which has been very popular, and I think has a lot of that same heart that you see in the Rebirth comic. And, you know, DC films have admittedly not been great, but you know, since Batman vs. Superman came out, they had a big shakeup. They added Ben Affleck as an executive producer onto the new Justice League movie. They promoted Jeff Johns to being the head of the co-head of DC Films. They're doing a lot of things that sort of are making it seem like they get it. They know that they messed up, and they're going a different direction.
Well, like I said, this is one of these things to where I thought we were going to have a heated debate going back and forth with Johns being in charge of the films division now going forward. And I was like, you know what? After Rebirth and after what you told me about stuff like Flash and all the stuff they're doing on the television properties, I'm all on board.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. At the same time, you know, I mean, Jeff Johns, he's a guy who's worked in TV and film for a long time. Like, the way he broke into comics, broke into Hollywood, really, is he got his start being an assistant to, the director of the original Superman movies, Richard Donner. He directed the first Superman movie and part of the second Superman movie, and Jeff Johns came to LA and was his assistant. And, you know, he worked his way in. He worked on some TV shows. He eventually got into comics. And, you know, I think that's – he's got such a mind for comics and for storytelling. And I think that it's going to be a cool chance to see how that turns out in film. You know, at the same time, he was also part of that Green Lantern movie that was terrible. Yeah. I mean, at the same time, there were a lot of people who were associated with that movie. That was also at the time the same people who are doing the Flash and Arrow TV shows now. They did the original script to that movie. It got rewritten all to hell. They did a script that they both say they're still very proud of. And I, you know, at the same time, you know, Jeff Johns, it was his first sort of big film experience. So, you know, I feel like he probably learned some lessons from that. But I think we're very much going to see as his influence grows in DC films. Like, he's co-writing the next Batman movie with Ben Affleck. And I'm very curious to see how that turns out. Like, they're writing the new – now with this new Batman they have in the movies, they're going to write this together. And I'm very curious to see how that turns out. You know, Batman vs. Superman had three different writers on it. Ooh. It had David Goyer, who did all the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. It had the writer from Argo, who, you know, of course, worked on it. I'm guessing he probably did, like, the Batman Ben Affleck-y parts of the movie. And then you also had Zack Snyder writing on it. And there are things I like about Zack Snyder, but, you know, his vision is not – has had some problems with it when it comes to DC films.
Okay. I'm glad we're in agreement on that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I, you know, I loved Watchmen, the film. I love 300. I think Zack Snyder's a great visual storyteller. I think that he, when it comes to writing a story, I don't think that's his strength. You know, he didn't write 300, he didn't write Watchmen, because, you know, they're source material that he's basing those off of directly. You know, those are both like panel by panel, basically remakes of the comic books, while, you know, his Superman movie, his Batman versus Superman movie are not. They're very different. So I think that's a big part of the problem, is that I think that, the folks they gave to, like, they gave him a little too much power, and, you know, let him focus on what he does best. Let him be a great visual storyteller, and let someone else who knows these characters so deeply write the comics and write the characters.
Okay. And as long as I have you here, I understand you be a busy individual. Like I said, I appreciate you taking time in your busy schedule. What have you been up to these days?
Well, I just got done writing a new spec script that I'm submitting to a bunch of different things of the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is, you know, really funny show, and it's been getting submitted to a bunch of different things. I just wrote a pilot, which I did a live reading of at the UCB Theater, and I'm submitting that to some stuff. I'm going to the Austin Film Festival this fall, and I'm submitting to some stuff there. So, you know, I'm sort of, you know, I'm not making it anywhere, but I'm trying to, like, put some feelers out and you know, do some writing and see what comes of it. If you want to check out some of my projects, you can go to themikerowe.com. That's Mike Rowe. It's R-O-E, no W, like the Dirty Jobs guy. But if you go to themikerowe.com, I've got a few of my scripts up there if you want to take a look and sort of see what I write. I always try and sort of feature a couple of things. I have one of my sketch comedy videos up there and other stuff, so you can check that out.
Okay, and I'll be sure to put that in the description as well.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to plug before we wrap this bad boy up?
Just follow me on Twitter. Project that's probably going to take a while, but I'm also just starting to work on doing my own comic book. So maybe I'll come on and talk about that whenever that happens.
we'll hopefully be amongst the people that you're talking to once you start plugging that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a pleasure as always. Thanks for having me, man.
Again, we appreciate you making time in your very busy schedule. Mike, thanks again. You're always welcome to come on the show to talk whatever you feel like. The door is always open. Don't be a stranger.
Thanks so much, Tony. You're the best.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. So from all of us at HalfGuard.com, thanks for checking out the show. And as always, see you out next time.